Support for KSJD's streaming comes from Osprey PAX, independent since 1974, setting the standard for creating and producing innovative, high-quality, caring equipment designed to inspire and ease your journey. Osprey PAX is committed to the local communities where it operates and to protecting the wild places its customers love to explore. For more information, visit OspreyPAX.com.
Good morning and welcome to another edition of Pandora's Box, The Other Side of the Story on the Environment and Your Health. I'm Lynn Patrick. I'm here in the studio with my co-producer, Tom Yoder. And this morning we're going to be talking about the measles and herd immunity. The recent outbreak of 51 cases of measles at Disneyland in January has brought attention to parents who are choosing personal or religious exemptions to vaccination. The United States declared measles completely eradicated in 2002, and according to Dr. James Cherry, a prominent UCLA pediatrician, measles vaccine acquired herd immunity is in effect with a measles vaccination rate of more than 90%, which he said has been the case in the U.S. since 1981. There have, however, been 644 cases of measles in the last year. And to explore this contradiction, this morning we are on the phone with Dr. Tatiana Obukanich, who earned her PhD in immunology at Rockefeller University, and her research dissertation actually focused on this understanding of immunologic memory perceived by the mainstream biomedical establishment to be crucial to vaccination and immunity. During her subsequent involvement in laboratory research, Dr. Obukanich at Harvard and Stanford, in her own words, realized the flaws and limitations of current immunologic paradigms. So good morning, Dr. Obukanich. Thank you so much for joining us here in the studios via Skype.
Good morning, Lynn, and thanks for inviting me.
So as you say on your website, and I'm going to quote you here because it's a great quote, "As if to make me see the truth for myself, the universe has put me through an experience of contracting measles and whooping cough, despite being properly vaccinated for these childhood diseases. Neither immunologic theory nor my extensive training in immunologic laboratory research prepared me to understand why this happened to me, a person with no apparent defects in antibody production or any immunodeficiencies." So could you lead us through this story? How did your contracting these diseases and your questioning that vaccination didn't work for you lead you to really question the whole theory of herd immunity in vaccination?
Sure. I'll share the story because it is really life-changing for me to realize that my experience really goes against every dogma that I learned out there as a professional. And when other people in the past were telling me, someone actually told me, well, they had measles even though they were vaccinated, I brushed that aside because I could not really think that that was a major thing. But if it happened to me, it's a different story, right? Everyone takes their own personal experience very seriously. We know what we know about ourselves, so we need to investigate. So what happened really was that I had measles when I was a teenager, when I was about 11 or 12 years old. And I did not know at that time whether I was or wasn't vaccinated, because obviously vaccinations happen early in life and we don't remember about that. But later on, when I was an adult and I was already a PhD immunologist, I took a look at my schedules, at my vaccination schedules from the childhood. And I saw it with my own eyes that I had two vaccines for measles administered to me at the right age. And then I got measles. So that's when it really clicked that something is not adding up and I needed to investigate. And so the first thing that I did, of course, is to ask, well, did it happen to me and me only, or is this well documented in medical literature? And so once I started to unravel, I went to look at other cases, if that's the case, or what's happening with measles statistics. And indeed, it's clear, very clear, that twice vaccinated people do contract measles.
So there is evidence, and you know, it's been documented by the state of California that about 13% of the people who got the measles, the kids who got the measles at Disneyland, were fully vaccinated or at least partially vaccinated. And is there evidence for this in other measles outbreak cases?
Sure. And the evidence in other outbreaks is even more dramatic. And I can give you an example of a measles outbreak in Quebec, Canada, where they did passive surveillance statistics, and the numbers came up that 22% of measles cases were twice vaccinated. But when researchers did active surveillance, meaning they went into the community to find the cases actively, statistics was very different. So they found that measles among twice vaccinated was underreported in official passive surveillance statistics. And the actual numbers or actual proportions was more like 48% of measles cases being twice vaccinated. So we have two problems. One is that measles does happen in twice vaccinated kids. And second is that these cases are often not showing up in official statistics.
So let me just make sure I understand this. In this particular case, half of the outbreak were kids who were fully vaccinated, 48%?
Yes, and the outbreak was humongous. It was more than 600 cases just in one community.
And this was in Quebec, in Canada?
Yes, 2011, not so long ago.
Okay, so there is evidence that that twice vaccinated kids can contract the measles. Can they also spread the measles?
This question is a little bit more difficult to answer. From my personal experience, yes, I was actually the index case in my school. So I was the first one who got measles, and after me, a few more children got it. So I was twice vaccinated, and I was able to transmit it. There is also recently evidence that that happened in New York. There was a twice vaccinated person who spread measles to medical personnel, actually. So, but this is very recently that this is started to be acknowledged. In the past, the theory was, well, even if you have a breakthrough disease, meaning you have measles despite being vaccinated, you cannot transmit it. But as we say, you know, the more research we do, the more cases we find that I think this is going to be obvious. It's not the case. The theory is not the case.
So this whole idea of herd immunity, meaning if you vaccinate over 90 or 95%, depending on who you talk to, of the population, nobody will get measles. It kind of pokes a hole in that theory. Is that correct?
Yes. And the hole is actually called the measles paradox, and it was coined back in 1994. By Dr. Gregory Poland. What he observed in his studies and his observations is as community acquires higher and higher levels of vaccination coverage, measles becomes the disease of the vaccinated. That is the paradox. And why is that? Well, first of all, vaccine is not 100% effective even in inducing antibodies. So it leaves about 5% of vaccinated population sort of vaccine failures. And then on top of that, there is an additional layer of complication is in those 95% in whom vaccine worked to induce antibodies, that protection doesn't stay constant over time. And at some point, these antibodies are going to go away. They will wane away, and people will become susceptible to measles again, but at a later age.
So Dr. Obokhinich, we're going to take a short break. If you're just listening in, this is Pandora's Box. I'm Lynn Patrick. We're here with Dr. Tatiana Obokhinich, and we are talking about the measles vaccine. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Pandora's Box. I'm Lynn Patrick. I'm here with Dr. Tatiana Obokhinich, and we're talking about the measles vaccine. So, Tatiana, can you lead us through your thought process and your experience when you started learning about the waning of the measles vaccine and the failure of the measles vaccine?
Sure. I mean, there are data that actually look at antibody production after vaccination and also following those vaccinated people for 10 years. And it is pretty obvious that titers go down, antibody titers or antibody levels are going down. And they only followed people for 10 years, meaning from the age of 5 to the age of 15. And they found that at the age of 15, 5% of the population is no longer immune to measles, even though they were properly vaccinated with two vaccines in their childhood. And then we know, of course, life doesn't stop at the age of 15. So how about the age of 25? Well, there are no measurements done at 10 years later because you cannot carry out a study for so long. But you can estimate that the half-life, meaning it takes half-life is how long does it take for antibody levels to be reduced by half? It's about 8 years. Okay, so when people get into their 50s, their antibodies are going to go away completely from their young, from their childhood vaccinations.
Now, compare this to someone who actually acquires the measles and acquires immunity based on an actual infection with the measles.
Yes, there was a study done on that in Japan, and they looked at the elderly people in their 60s and their levels of antibodies, and that in after natural infection, the levels last and last, and they do not seem to drop. That's an interesting phenomenon. And they actually 10 times higher the levels than in vaccinated. So those who are naturally immune have 10 times higher levels, and then they don't seem to drop.
So help us understand your own personal evolution in learning about the problematic aspect of vaccination, that especially measles vaccination we're talking about now specifically, that it doesn't last forever.
Yes.
And starting to understand how to naturally support the immune system to be able to handle a measles infection.
So what we reasonably can expect, and I saw that, is with vaccines you can postpone susceptibility to measles, but you cannot completely make it gone from you personally. And if that's the case, then you do have to learn how to handle measles, how to be able to handle measles without complications. And to do that, you have to understand how the immune system works. Because what happens is that when we acquire or when we expose to infection the first time around, we don't have immunity yet. Immunity develops through the exposure. So we have to have a way to survive that infection the first time. And that's why we have our own immune system. So what makes measles a mild disease versus disease with complications, which could be deadly, such as pneumonia, encephalitis, all of that that's being said in the media, it depends on the state of the immune system, and more specifically on the nutritional state of the immune system. We now know that there are defense mechanisms in the immune system that rely on having vitamin A and vitamin C. If you don't have one of these, you're pretty much assured to have a severe measles. So, and then there is also a risk of secondary complications of measles, such as bacterial infections. And then there's a whole list of things that are required for that. So I don't know, Lynn, do you want me to go into details on that? Or let's just leave it that how well you handle measles depends on the strength of your immune system. And that in turn depends on your lifestyle and nutrition.
So what caught my attention, Dr. Obukhinich, is that you, as a result of learning about this, you are now concentrating your efforts in educating parents about how to support their children's immune systems, and that all your efforts are going into education. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Absolutely, because this aspect is not something that's being very well advertised, so to speak, in the mass media. And they tell you, well, vaccination is the only way to assure that you don't get measles and then you don't die from measles. And part of it is true. Vaccination is the way for a short term. Obviously, we just talk it's not going to last for a lifetime, but for a short term, it will prevent measles infection. But what the immune system does, even though immune system allows measles infection, it will prevent complications. So parents can choose what is it that they want. Are they okay with just having a measly rash for 7 days in their children without any complications or severe symptoms of other kinds, and then establish lifelong immunity for life and never have to worry about that? Or do they really want to just, keep vaccinating, and then, you know, that vaccine immunity will expire, and then maybe they have to have another booster later and later and later, and basically depend on boosters.
So could you talk a little bit about that? Because my understanding from what's being reported in the media is that biomedical science is having to actually admit that there is waning immunity to measles and pertussis, and that the vaccines don't work forever. And there, it's now being suggested that there be a third MMR vaccine. And will this lead the way to just constant vaccination boosters? Or in your mind, is there another approach to dealing with the measles?
So it does seem that introduction of the third booster is a logical way to fix the problem. Obviously, after we introduce the third booster and we will still see measles happening in vaccinated population, what do we do then? Is it fourth booster? And the problem is that some people are considered low responders to vaccination. And probably I was low responder too, because I got it really soon after the second dose. So what's happening in low responders is that they become susceptible within 2 to 5 years after their last booster. And if you revaccinate them, it doesn't save them. They're again susceptible within a few short years. So then some people would have to get their MMR every few years. You know, it's not going to be just the third booster. And it's almost impossible to predict in advance who is a high responder and who is a low responder. So we will be completely in the dark. We will have one size fit all schedule, and still that is not going to catch everyone and assure everyone's got their immunity all the time.
Okay, Dr. Obukhanich, unfortunately, that's all the time that we have. We are going to be listing resources that Dr. Obukhanich gives us for further information about this on our Pandora's Box website. Dr. Obukhanich, thank you so much for joining us here for another edition of Pandora's Box. We will be back in 2 weeks.
Thanks for having me.